Praise God. Are you happy tonight? How many God has blessed you? Let me see your hand. You can say, here's where I can look back and say, God, bless me. Lift and hold it high because God's watching. Amen. We need to be a thankful people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we've been having a wonderful time in the day services as well as these night services. And if you've not been able to be in the day service, we'd like to invite you to join us tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. And we're going to deal with some things about faith. And in particular, how to operate in Bible faith. And I don't know, I think this morning the anointing was so strong, we just left here just rejoicing and praising God. And it's, I don't know if it's me or not, dear. Maybe you feel it, my wife as well. But I just felt like a tremendous desire to know more about the Word. Did you feel that in your spirit, folks? Amen. Just a hunger for more of the Word of God. Amen. You know, if a man has a wife as beautiful as I do, you'd think I'd get her up more often. Before I come up here, I said, come on, get up and greet the people. She spoke to some of the ladies on Saturday morning. I heard she did an excellent job. But if she will, I'm going to pull her leg or arm or something. I want her to come. Oh, praise God. Shake my hand. Tell me you're glad to meet me. Praise the Lord. But I want her to just give you greetings. And also, we've been seeing some of the most unusual miracles from the Lord this year. It's been wonderful. And in many of the services, the cameras have captured it. And I heard from our office just a little while back, and as they're editing, the workers are coming in, standing around, watching the miracles that are going to be on television. They're getting blessed. And I think that's wonderful. And most importantly, multiplied tens of thousands of people are calling and being saved. Our last outdoor crusade just a few weeks ago in North Carolina, over 308 people gave their heart to the Lord for the first time, not counting others that came to the altar. This is my wife, Sister Bonnie. Bonnie Sue used to be brown, and now she's saved. Amen. Shuttlesworth.
Thank you, honey. It's so good to be here. We love you all so much. We're just so excited about what the Lord's doing. Are you?
Yes.
Amen. And, you know, it really is. I've been having such a hunger for the Word of God, and it's just so wonderful. You can read the Bible every day until you're 100 and still learn something new every day. It's a living, alive book. And when you know the author of that book lives within you, revelation, understanding, and wisdom and knowledge comes every day. And guidance just for your life, for your family, for your finances, for your body, everything. Amen? It's so wonderful. And when we put our faith in Jesus, He meets needs and blesses us. And we've just been seeing so many wonderful miracles this year. And we've been seeing the blind eyes open, the deaf ears open, crippled people being healed. Like he told the other night about the man that the metal came right out of his body, began to, he had metal in his back. He couldn't bend. He had rods in his spine, and all of a sudden he started bending every which way and praising God and dancing all over the place, and hallelujah. There's nothing impossible with him. And you know what? It's an easy thing for him to do because he created our bodies and he wants to do those things for us. We just have to ask him and receive it. Amen?
What about the man that wasn't saved? I called him out and his wife had prayed for 2 years.
Tell us about it.
For 2 years, a burden came on her to pray for her husband. How many of you are praying for unsaved family? Let me see your hands. And she'd been praying God would save him. Now, I didn't know that, and I called him out. I said, Mister, come here just a minute. He came up a little reluctantly, and the Lord said, lead him in the sinner's prayer. I led him in that prayer right there in front of the whole crowd before I even preached my first part of my message. And then the Lord said, lay hands on him. I did, and the power of God knocked him down. He started speaking in tongues instantly, rolling on the floor. You know, the people that fight God the hardest, they're the ones that become holy rollers the best. Amen. All the resistance is destroyed. Glory to God. And in these services tonight, I'm expecting to see God do these things. There's a woman back here somewhere. You're battling a condition where you're sort of crippled up. You can't get around like you need to. But tonight, there's healing for you. Hallelujah. Who back here you're battling in your body, in your joints, your body? Is there anybody here tonight? Maybe you have a walker or what do they call those things with wheels? Here's one, and here's one. Well, there's three opportunities for the Lord tonight. Amen. That was in my spirit when I came in. And I believe all things are possible to him that believeth. Praise God. Someone say all things. Say all means all. All things are possible to him that believeth. How many of you are a believer? Let me see your hands. Then you are a candidate for the impossible to take place in your life. Well, let's lift both our hands and thank God in advance that we shall receive. Amen. Thank him in advance. We shall receive from the Lord. Hallelujah. And then somebody say this, there's nothing too hard for God. Say, there's nothing too hard for God. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Nothing, say it again, nothing too hard for our God. Hallelujah. Nothing too hard for our God. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me or open your Bibles, first of all, to the book of Romans, the letter that Paul wrote to the church of Rome. Before there was ever a pope, there was the apostle Paul. Praise God. And Paul wrote to the church in Rome, and in particular, to help them with their faith. How many know your faith sometimes needs a little help? Thank you for all those amens. How many know that sometimes your faith needs a little help? I feel that way, and I ask God to help me every day. Now, my wife can tell you when I get in these meetings, sometimes I'll just listen to other ministers as they preach, and I'll listen to people sing. I had Jesse Dixon on singing to me tonight. He's in heaven, but I let him sing anyhow. Hallelujah. The wicked shall cease from troubling. The weary shall be at rest. And all the saints of the ages are going to sit at his feet and be blessed. And I started singing it because my dad's there and Jesse's there and a few other folks, but I'm here. But I can sing about heaven if I want. Hallelujah. Everybody say, the wicked shall cease from troubling. The weary shall be at rest. And all the saints of the ages, we're going to sit at his feet and be blessed. How many looking forward to that day? Whew, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, shall come and take us by the hand. Oh, bless the name of the Savior forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Heaven's more real to me now than it's ever been. And I thank God for the promise of Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 10, if you have your Bible, I've been dealing with this area of how to operate in Bible faith. And the reason I'm doing it is because of what the Lord said to me. Someone said, Brother Shuttlesworth, what did he say to you? Well, not too long ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, in the body of Christ, he said, faith has gotten down and the level is low. Well, when you have a car and you look at the gauge and the gas level's low, what do? You go fill it up to get it up to where it needs to be so you can keep going forward. And so it is with faith. Faith always goes forward. Faith never goes in reverse. When I was a younger minister, and I'm still young, but when I was younger, I used to go out to Brother Sumrall's, his church in South Bend. And whatever that he would have me to do or whatever they'd ask me to do, I'd do it. I mean, he interviewed me on television one day. They didn't have any guests, so I was it. Praise the Lord. And he asked me questions, and I answered the best that I could. And then one day he said, I want you to go with my son Frank, and I want you to do a week's worth of radio on healing. So I did. And whatever that older man would say, I'd do it, because I was always raised that not only are older people always right, but you listen and do what they tell you to do. Amen. Do they still teach that in this generation? But anyhow, I did what he said. Then one night he said, I want you to preach in the church. And you know, I tell you, I was so excited. And then one time we were at the NRB convention and he wanted to help unloading books. I was so hungry to be used of God that anything that anybody asked me to do, I'd do it, because I just wanted to be in the things of God and I wanted to be around the men and women of God and I wanted to be used of God. And in this service and in this teaching, I want to deal with some things that will help people receive healing in their body and to be strong in the power of God's might. God doesn't want us struggling physically or mentally, spiritually, financially, or in such way. But if we are willing to work for God, then I have found one of the keys and one of the secrets is that he gives you more strength and ability as you give of yourself. The law of sowing and reaping even affects your health and your healing. May I say that again? The law of sowing and reaping even affects your health and your healing. The Bible says that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so I believe in that. I remember when I traveled and I worked with a great evangelist for many years and his heart began to fail him. And the Lord told him, he said, get Brother Ted to help you. And so my wife and I, we gave up everything and we went out and started working with Brother Shambach. And he said, I don't have the natural strength tonight to preach. I want you to preach and pray for the people. And so I did. But about, the third night, he said, I'm going to do testimonies tonight. He did it inch by inch. Amen. And so he took the testimonies for radio and television. And then by the fifth night, he said, I want to exhort a little bit. Amen. And I'll never forget a minister sitting next to me said, do you see what he's doing? As he's sowing to get people healed and helped, God is healing his heart and helping him. And sure enough, he went from less than 30% blood flow and arteries blocked. And when he went into the doctor, everything was fine. His heart was fine. The blood flow was normal. And they cleared him to go anywhere in the world. And so I learned the secret to longevity and the secret to healing is to give of yourself in the work of God. You say, well, that's for ministers. No, that's for every believer. There's something that God will allow you to do, and he will give you the strength to do it. The Bible says David's testimony was, I've been young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And so from youth to longevity of being older, you can claim that promise. Can you say amen? And then the Bible says he'll give you strength as your days. But we need to stir ourselves up and look a little bit more into these scriptures, because if you're going to be used of God, guaranteed the devil's going to try to take you out. He'll either attack your mind, he'll either attack your body, he'll attack your money, he'll attack your family. But one way or another, the devil will try to keep you from being used of God. But who cares what the devil wants? Amen. I'm not in this thing because of anything the devil's doing. I'm in this thing because of what God is doing. God is undoing the works of the enemy through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we have confidence in him. Hallelujah. Faithful is he that calls us, who also will do it. Can you say amen? Now look at me, not at me, but with me, Romans chapter 10. Hallelujah. And look at, if you will, this eighth verse. Thank you, sir. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Paul was telling the believers here in Rome that the word of God, the word of faith, was not some far off distant thought or some objective desire or goal, but it was an active working of the word of faith. It was already in their mouth as a believer. Someone said, well, if I could just get faith. No, you'll never get it. You already have it. And that's half the battle, realizing you already have a measure of faith. For the Bible says, God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. You don't get faith, you have faith. But you stir up what you've got, and you can build it up, you that are filled with the Holy Ghost, by praying in tongues. You build up your most holy faith. Hallelujah. I believe if you just prayed in your normal language, English, there's a strengthening that comes from prayer. But there's only one way that faith comes, and it comes from a measure that God gives you, and it comes according to the word of God by the hearing of the word of the Lord. Can you say amen? But what saith it? Romans chapter 10 verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess. Now I dealt in a previous lesson this week that faith speaks, faith talks. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. If you believe that you shall receive them, you shall have them. Therefore you say unto yonder mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And so faith speaks. Can you say amen? Faith also receives from God. We dealt with Mark chapter 5. Jairus comes to Jesus after he comes back from the Gadarenes, casting the devil out of the man who had legion. And Jairus comes up to him and said, Master, my daughter lieth at the point of death. And Jesus saith unto him, I will go with you. And on their way, the Bible says, there was a woman who had an issue of blood who had heard of Jesus and said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And as Jesus passed by, she touched him. And Jesus turned to his disciples and saith, who hath touched me? And they said, Master, seest thou not the multitude that throngest thee, and ask, who is it that hath touched thee? And Jesus said, someone has touched me. And then he turned and saw her upon whom this had taken place or happened. And the Bible says that when she touched him, virtue went out of him. Hallelujah. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. Glory to God. And Jesus saith unto her, according to thy faith, hallelujah, thy faith hath made thee whole. Faith has something to do with receiving. For she said, you speak your faith, and then you get what you say. Can you say amen? And then on the way to Jairus' house, this took place. He gets to the house, and he drives out the minstrels and those professional mourners that were anticipating the death of Jairus' daughter. And the Bible says Jesus raised her up. Hallelujah. And Jairus got exactly what he said. For he said, if you shall come, I know that you can raise my daughter from the dead. Hallelujah. Or raise her up. Hallelujah. And so it was. And then when he left the house, there were two blind men that followed him, saying, thou son of David, be merciful unto us. And Jesus said, what is it that I may do for thee? And they said, that we might receive our sight. And then he, going back into the house with them, he said to them, believe ye that I'm able to do these things? And they replied, yea, Lord, or yes, Lord. Then Jesus said, according to thy faith be thou made whole. And so in all three instances, the faith, the word of faith that is nigh thee, when you speak it, come on, lift your hands. I feel the Holy Ghost getting strong, and we're just getting started. Hallelujah. When you speak it, the anointing gets stronger and stronger and stronger. I say it this way, it gets gooder and gooder and gooder. It gets better and better and better. Hallelujah. How many wouldn't mind if God just smacked you with the Holy Ghost tonight and you left staggering under that wonderful anointing of the Spirit of Almighty God? Don't let anybody tell you you can't receive it. You can receive it, because the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And so part of salvation is speaking your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and confessing him, and shalt believe in thine heart. The two elements of faith, confession and believing. If you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But this principle works in receiving anything and everything from God. Now the word of faith is already in you working. God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. Can you say amen? And so this principle not only works for salvation, but it works for everything we receive from God. Then look down at Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now in the King James, they put a comma after the first word hearing, but actually in the translation it reads, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, hallelujah, by the word of God. You don't just hear it one time and that's all you need. No, we have to continually let our hearts be filled with the hearing of the word of God. Hallelujah. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Better and better and better and better. Gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder. I'm getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. How many of you want God to strengthen you? Then lift your hands and say it by faith. Stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Hallelujah. Thank God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your salvation comes by speaking. Your healing comes by speaking. The Holy Ghost comes by speaking. Are you listening to me? And I'm not just speaking to the Rocky Mountains. I'm not just speaking to the mountain range near here. I'm not just speaking to the Appalachian Ridge and the Blue Ridge Mountains and down through to Georgia to Tekoa. No, I'm speaking to mountains of unbelief. I'm speaking to mountains of doubt. I'm speaking to that devil that told me that I cannot have what God has promised me to have. I'm saying my son shall be saved. My daughter shall be saved. My grandchildren shall rock and reel under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm getting hot on this thing. Amen. So many people are upset. Say, what's going to happen tomorrow? I mean, we got folks, they think the Chinese are going to invade America. If they do, I'll be here to preach the gospel to them. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, none of these things move me. Instead of being concerned about natural things and these pundits that get on television and say every weird thing, what we need to do is speak the word of God over America and the nations of the world. Who said that NBC is right? Who said that ABC is right? Who said that CBS is right? Who said that FOX is right? Fox, are you listening to me? The problem is the church has alphabet disease. ABC, CBS, NBC, FOX, get rid of your disease and be healed of the words of natural men and begin to confess the word of God. If God said it, he's got to do it. If he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. Can you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then turn over to Acts chapter 11. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord begins to come into Cornelius's house. And he talks to him about one whose name is Peter. And he wants him to send for Peter, and he does. Peter's up on the roof fighting his prejudices. Peter, he wasn't sure that God could... you know what he thought? He thought God could only save the Jews. Forget the Gentiles. Who's the Gentiles? Everybody's not a Jew. So Peter was prejudiced. You remember that? Paul confronted him to the face in the Council of Jerusalem. The gospel was for the whole world. Are you listening to me? And Peter's up there and he has a trance. And in the trance, he sees a sheep come down out of heaven, loaded with all kinds of animals and some that were called unclean by the Jewish dietary code from the Old Testament. But what people don't realize is our food is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Hallelujah. I was in India. I preached hard. I ate rice off a banana leaf with curry. One word of advice, don't touch your eyes or nose. Amen. And the last day I was there, we had meat in the rice. And I said to the lady, where's the dog I've been playing with? And she just turned and walked away. And then I realized Rover was over. Amen. I was eating that little fella. Glory to God. But you know, it was sanctified by the word of God and prayer. People don't realize that when you pray over your food, a blessing comes on it and it takes out the things that could hurt you. Are you listening to me? I don't have my faith up strong enough to curse calories yet, but I'm working on it. Amen. But I'll never forget, my wife will remember this. We were in Chicago. Brother Shambach sent me to preach there. He couldn't make the meeting, as I said, when he was believing God for full manifestation of health. And so I went. This wasn't my meeting. It was really his. But I had to do the preaching and ministry. And several thousand people were gathered there in the pavilion, the University of Illinois pavilion. And a woman came down with tears in her eyes. And she said, my mama only has days to live. Are you listening to me? We never took any classes in Bible school that told us how to pray for people like that. Given up to die, terminal cancer. My mom is going to die. Tears in her eyes. Well, that'll touch anybody. I said, where is your mama? Oh, she's here tonight. I said, go get her. Hallelujah. The beginning of every miracle is the step of faith you take towards God. We're talking about how to operate in faith, Bible faith. and how to have faith in this particular message, faith for healing. You've got to step out and trust God. Are you hearing me? You've got to make a move towards the Lord. Don't sit back and say, well, the Lord knows who I am, and the Lord knows what I need, and he knows all that I've done. Everything you've done for God didn't buy your healing. Jesus bought it on the cross 2,000 years ago. And I meet people that say, well, I've served him 30 years. Why won't he heal me? Because you're not showing him any faith. All you're showing him is what you did in the past. But forget those things which are behind and press towards the mark, the prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, the ground around Calvary is level, and janitors and generals stand there equally, and God doesn't go by what you did for him. He goes by what he did for you. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 11, verse 14, the word of the Lord comes forth. God got Peter off the roof, and he got him off the roof when he understood that if God says it's all right, if it's clean, it's clean. And I used that principle when I prayed for that lady. She had four big tumors in her throat. I'm back in Chicago again. I'll get to Acts 11. She had four cancerous tumors in her throat, you could see, and then through her whole body. And do you remember what her name was, Bonnie? Hallelujah. But she was a lovely lady. And she lifted her hands. She'd never been saved, never been to church much, but she needed a miracle because she had terminal cancer. And she lifted her hands to the Lord. And the Lord said, don't lay hands on her, but pray over and bless this glass of water and let her drink it. For the Bible says he'll bless your bread and he'll bless your water and take sickness and disease away from the midst of them. I have people come up and they say, man, how'd you lose all that weight? I said, I just drink water. No, what are you really doing? That's all I'm doing. I started praying over water and drinking about 3 liters a day. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? I've learned to operate differently since I've been doing that. Glory to God. But you see, there's a blessing. You know, man makes drinks, sodas and pops and other things, but God made the water. Hallelujah. You know, I get a kick out of these environmentalists and these liberal people who have a brain about the size of a pea. They say, well, you know, the water's running out. Think about this. Not one drop of water has left the planet except for what was in the astronaut's capsule. Amen. We had a class in school. They taught us about evaporation and condensation. Those folks must have missed it. Amen. Are you listening to me? Well, and then they dam up the water, and so the Wabash Valley didn't have enough water for the corn. Well, there was enough water if they'd have let it out of the dam at the headwaters up by where the Mississippi starts. What I'm telling you is when man gets involved, the blessing will not work. But when you let God be God all by himself, the blessing will always work and nothing is impossible with God. Can you say amen? We just got to get man's hand out of it and get the hand of God on it. Amen. The blessing is in having God to lay his hand upon you when it comes to healing. Healing doesn't come from a man. It doesn't come from a doctor. It doesn't come from a hospital. It doesn't come from a nurse. And we love all these people. They're doing the best they can. But there is that healing that God has instituted. If you cut yourself, they tell me, your skin will heal back up. If that's so, and God made us, then we understand there's healing even in our body now, presently working. Can you say amen? And sickness and disease is an attack against the working of God and order of God. So I said, everybody, about 2,000 people stand. We're going to pray and ask God to bless the water for this woman. And so everybody prayed out loud, Lord, bless this water to her. And we curse all disease, and in her case, cancer. And when she drinks it, she shall be healed. And so that's how I did. I didn't lay hands on her. I blessed the water according to the scripture. Part of your healing comes from the word of God that you not only receive, but the word of God you put to work. Hallelujah. She started drinking the water, and Joe Davies from New Orleans was there. He worked for the Picayune, and he was a photographer, and he happened to be there. He was supposed to do a thing on Brother Shambach, but Brother Shambach wasn't there. But Brother Davy was from New Orleans, and he started taking pictures of her. When all of a sudden, one by one, the cancerous tumors disappeared out of her throat. And even though she hadn't been to church much in her life, actually she was a teacher in the Cook County school system. When the power of God hit her, the tumors instantly disappeared out of her neck and out of her body, because we found out later all the cancer was gone. Can you say amen? But she lifted her hands to heaven and began to praise God, though she had never been raised up in church. And she said, I know I have it. I know I have it. Let me tell you something. Sometimes sinners get it quicker than Christians because they haven't been in church long enough to learn unbelief. She just took it at the word. Hallelujah. And she got in Rob Thompson's church, and the last I heard, all the teachers and people she knew in the Cook County school system, she began to win row after row of people to Jesus and begin to fill up that church. Hallelujah. What I'm telling you is there's nothing too hard for God. You're sitting here tonight, whatever you may be facing, there is something God has for you, but the word of God, the word of faith is in your mouth. You got to speak it out to break the power and the wall of containment off your life that the devil's trying to put on you. Acts chapter 11, the angel of the Lord came and speaks to Cornelius, and Peter rehearses it again. Who shall tell thee? He's going to come, and he'll tell thee words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. You see, the angel couldn't preach the gospel. But the angel could work on both ends to get Peter to come speak the words that when they heard it, their whole house would be saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can you say amen? You can't believe without hearing the word of God. The reason why some folks are all messed up and their minds are messed up, they've heard the traditions of men, they've heard what somebody has said or what the Bible calls old wives' tales, and they've based their whole experience on something somebody told them, their mama told them, their daddy told them, or their church denomination told them. But you and I need to hear what thus saith the Lord. Faith doesn't come by denominational dogma. Faith doesn't come because your mama or daddy said so. Faith comes by the hearing of the word of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't just read your Bible, but stand up in your house and read it out loud so your ears can hear it and your spirit can receive it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. This is how the Lord helped me to get my grandmother to live from 70 to 93. My grandmother was visiting my mother and father in Virginia Beach, and Bonnie and I happened to be there. And my grandmother had a heart attack that come on her body. And she was getting bad. And as I said, I'm not opposed to doctors or nurses, hospitals. They're doing the best they can. But the thing is, what are you going to do if they shake their head and tell you there's nothing more we can do? Talking about faith for healing. You see, man can only go so far. But with God, all things are possible. Amen, Bob. All things are possible. All things are possible. And I tell folks, all means all. Praise God. So I saw my grandmother wasn't in good shape. And I called the ambulance. They took her to the hospital. And the doctor later told her she had 5 heart attacks in a row. And he said, it doesn't look good. But she had some recovery. Maybe 4 days of getting better. Only 70 years of age. I had a wonderful, godly grandmother. And a lot of what you hear me say, she used to say to me. But sometimes when your faith is weak, you need someone to come in agreement with you, to help you, to stand with you, to believe God with you, so that you realize you're not in this thing alone, but that the Lord is with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. That's why I love church. Praise God, the coming together of every believer. Amen. And we come together and we help each other. And iron sharpens iron. Can you say amen? I'm a church man. I tell people you have to have a church and you need to have a pastor. Are you listening to me? I believe like that. Glory to God. And so it looked like after 4 days she started to get somewhat better. And so that one morning my mother and my father went out to Hardee's to get, my dad used to eat sausage biscuits like they were Twizzlers. Amen. He'd put one in each hand. Bless his heart. And so he and mom went down to Hardee's to get their breakfast when the phone rang. And they're gone. And in those days, we didn't have cell phones. They did, but we didn't have them. And so it was the doctor. He said, is Louise Crawford, that was my grandmother's name, is her daughter there? I said, no, my mom's not here. Well, who are you? I said, I'm the grandson. He said, if you ever want to see your grandmother alive, you'd better get down here to the hospital because she's had another massive heart attack. And she may not last another 10 minutes. Well, I couldn't get a hold of my parents. I wasn't sure where they went. I found out later, and that's why I told you where they were. Amen. Be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. I jumped in my car. I had a little green split pea soup color Grand Prix. And I gunned that thing out of the neighborhood and out onto the interstate. And as I was driving, I opened my Bible, Brother Smith, and I found that verse in John, and I began to put my finger on it, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it for you. Hallelujah. And so I put my finger on it, not necessarily the best way to drive, folks, but I was gunning it. I probably was doing above the speed limit. In fact, I'm pretty sure I was, because I think I saw an airplane go by. But anyhow, I was gunning it down the interstate, and I kept saying that verse out loud. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it for you. Amen. And I'd been doing some Bible study, and I found out in Moffat's translation, and then again in the Syrian version, that verse translated, whatever you ask God for, if he doesn't have it, he'll make it for you. If he doesn't have it, he'll make it for you. And so I started praying, Lord, I thank you for making my grandmother a brand new heart. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I feel it right now. Hallelujah. And I was just saying that out loud, and my faith was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I said, Lord, I thank you that my grandmother has a brand new heart. Make her one and send it by special angel delivery. She shall live and she's not going to die. You see, faith comes by hearing, and your believing is affected by what you hear. And I wanted the devil to hear it. I wanted the gates of hell to know it. I wanted heaven to understand it. I wanted angels to know that this boy believed that God could give his grandmother a brand new heart. Hallelujah. And when I got there, I rushed to the emergency place. And I went in, and there I saw her. And the doctor shook his head. He said, you're too late. You're too late. She's gone. But when he said she's gone, I saw there was still a faint beeping on the heart monitor. And I looked, and her lips were moving. I've heard that if people are gone, they don't talk anymore. So somehow I perceived she was still with us. And I leaned over, and my grandmother was laying there with her eyes closed going, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. And when she said that the third time, I said, well, if you're not ashamed of him in the midst of this death, then I'm not ashamed of him while I'm living. And I laid hands on her, and I said, Father, I thank you for a brand new heart according to John's gospel. If you ask the Father anything in my name, he will do it for you. I said, I thank you that you made her a new heart. When all of a sudden the monitor went beep, and it went straight up and started moving. And the doctor came back, and he had paddles in his hand, but he didn't need the paddles this time, because the Holy Ghost has power to quicken your mortal body. For the Bible says, if that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, if he lives in you, if he dwells in you, he will quicken your natural mortal body. Oh, hallelujah. We serve a God that cannot fail. We serve a God that's on the job 24/7. Come on, Brother Smith. You know I'm telling you the truth. He never went to bed on you. He never laid out on you. Our God is all right all by himself. Hallelujah. He stands at every morning, and he stands on every night, and he's powerful in his coming and his going. And the doctor knocked me out of the way. He said, she's coming back on the monitor. Well, I wasn't a doctor, and I hadn't been to college, but I figured it out when I saw the thing beeping. Amen. Hallelujah. 5 days later, I went over to the hospital to pick her up to bring her home. And there was this orderly. He said, it's the rule. You have to sit in a wheelchair, ma'am, if you're going to go out to the parking lot. She said, I'm not sitting in it. I'm healed. I'm not sitting in it. I'm not that old. I'm only 70. He's probably 20-something. Amen. Ma'am, yeah. And he followed us the whole way to the parking lot, and she never got in it once. She said, I'm not getting in it. That's for old people. That's for people that are sick. She said, I'm not old, and I'm not sick. Hallelujah. Had 6 heart attacks. A massive one in the last one. But the devil couldn't kill her because God wasn't done with her. Are you listening to me? And when they examined her heart later, it didn't look like the one that had all the heart attacks. Are you hearing me? I believe God gave her a brand new heart, and she lived another 23 years. I used to go up to Maine, and she'd make me breakfast, slices of ham, eggs. Are you hearing me? Blueberries she picked with her own fingers down by the lake, and she made sure I had the best breakfast possible. Whoa, hallelujah. She'd come to the meetings and pray in the Holy Ghost. She'd call me late at night and say, I'm praying for you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, folks, the devil can't kill you till God gets through with you, and God's not through with you yet. Hallelujah. You ought to thank him that he brought you this far. You ought to thank him that he woke you up this morning. You ought to thank him that when everybody else counted you out, there was a God that said, I'm going to keep you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, hallelujah. What kind of God is this? He's a healing God. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and praise him. Come on, let's just praise him a moment. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I said hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Next 60 seconds. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Someone say it's not over yet. Say God's not done blessing me yet. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. God's not done blessing you. You can't believe without hearing it. Then if you have your Bible, this will be the last one that I do this night. We'll pick this up again in the morning lesson and tomorrow night. But look with me in Acts chapter 14. Acts the 14th chapter. Praise God. Praise God. How many sense the stirring of the Spirit in you right now? Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. I said glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm in a church that believes in letting God have his way and move. I'm so glad I'm sitting in a place where the Word of God is glorified and lifted up. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm sitting in a place where I'm only one prayer away from a miracle. Glory! Glory! Hallelujah. Acts chapter 14. And the Bible says, and I'm beginning to read with the seventh verse concerning the Apostle Paul and his team as they went forth. The Bible says they came to the cities of Lystra and Derbe, preached round about, verse 7, and there they preached the gospel. Everybody say, there they preached the gospel. And a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, had no strength in his feet to walk, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. So in other words, he's never walked one day of his life. I don't believe the Bible tells us how old he is. But if he was 30 years old, then that meant for 30 years he never walked. If he was 12 years old, that meant for 12 years he never walked. If he was 50 years old, that meant for 50 years he never walked. For some reason, the Holy Ghost is silent about the length of time that he was in this condition. Perhaps so that us, no matter what our age is, that we can identify with this story to receive our miracle. Because some of you, you're not 50 yet, but you are what you are. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible says in verse 9, the same heard. Everybody say, faith comes by hearing. Say, faith comes by hearing. Well, can the devil keep you from hearing? No. You take authority over and say, I receive everything the Spirit of God is saying. The devil cannot keep you from hearing the Word of God. Some people have made the devil more powerful than he is. I've heard people get up and say, well, some of you won't hear it tonight because the devil's got your ears bound. No, he's got their brain bound, and they need to sit down and let someone that can preach, preach. Amen. I've heard some of the most goofy things in the house of God, and sometimes, sad to say, comes out of the mouth of ministers and leaders. But if you can't preach, then get out of the kitchen. Amen. I can preach and cook at the same time. Glory to God. It's in you. It's like a rooster. You don't teach him to crow. It just comes out of you. Hallelujah. I can preach the label off of Libby's corn. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? There is something in you the Holy Ghost has working, and as a believer, you can exhort. You can speak by faith. faith. And don't let anybody tell you the devil's so powerful that you can't operate in faith. You can operate in Bible faith. The devil is under your feet. He is bound. Are you listening to me? Ephesians chapter 2 and the Pauline revelation, he is under our feet. And we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Hallelujah. And the devil is bound. We are far above principality. We're far above power. We're far above demon spirits. Are you hearing me? The devil's under your feet, and you are more than a conqueror through him that loved you and gave himself for you. The Bible says, hallelujah, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is that victory, even our faith. Don't tell me I don't have faith. It's in my mouth, but what saith it? We have the word of faith in our mouth. Hallelujah. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The same heard. Everybody say faith comes by hearing. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving. Paul understood. He noted something. That the man had faith to be healed. Now all the Bible says is that there Paul preached the gospel unto them. That's all it says. But he must have preached that healing is a part of the gospel. Otherwise, how did the man get faith to be healed? Paul must have said, now when Jesus walked the earth, people that were crippled were healed by the power of God. Paul must have told the stories of the gospel, the good news, that when Jesus came, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah, that the gospel made them whole. The good news, Jesus, the word in the flesh, glory to God, made them whole. He must have told them about the leper that came down out of the mount. And he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And Jesus said, I will. Hallelujah. If he didn't say it, the law of Moses, the man would have been stoned. But Jesus said, I will. Glory to God. Be thou made whole. And the Bible says immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus told him to go unto the priest and show it unto him. Hallelujah. Paul must have preached the gospel, the good news. Well, there was a man that Jesus prayed for who was blind, and his name was Bartimaeus. Who knows what Paul talked about? The Bible only says he preached the gospel, and part of the gospel is healing. And as he preached the gospel, this man got faith to be healed of being crippled his whole life. And when Paul perceived it, understood it, saw it, noted it, the Bible says, then he took him by the hand. Stand upright on thy feet, the command of faith. And the Bible says, the man, he leaped and walked. A creative miracle. Miracles are instantaneous. Hallelujah. We were preaching, my wife and I, in Sarasota, Florida, next to the Ringling Brothers Museum on that old field. Years ago, it's still there, the fairground. And a man came in that a backhoe had hit his leg and shattered his leg. And they took 6 inches of bone out of his leg. And he had, hold this son, he had a built-up shoe. In the back, it was about 6 inches. And in the front, maybe 3 to 4 inches. And even with that, he came in limping like this. And so we preached that Jesus saves. And we preached that Jesus heals. Praise God. And when I gave the altar call, for those that wanted to give their heart to Christ, here he came. Hallelujah. And we led him to the Lord. Maybe some of you tonight are not really living for Christ like you should be. But you can get your life right with God. Amen. It doesn't take all night. Amen. It can happen just like that. And so with tears in his eyes, he was receiving Christ as his Savior. Holding his eyes and trying to hold the tears back, but the anointing was on him. And when he was done, I said, brother, you believe it's done. And the Word of God says you have it. Then he said to me, I want the rest of it. I said, what do you mean the rest of it? He said, well, I want my foot to be healed. I almost said, well, that would take faith. Amen. But immediately I understood my spirit that he was very tender because he had just given his heart to the Lord. And you know, I tell pastors, I tell gospel workers, when people are first saved, that's when they're the most tender. Get them delivered from habits, get them healed, get them set free so they can spend the rest of their life setting other people free. Someone said, well, you know, they need to be taught. This isn't an inoculation. This isn't a vaccination. We're waiting to see if it takes. If they confess the Lord Jesus and believed it in their heart, they're saved. They're saved. My dad's pastor was Olin Knotts. He was the cousin to Don Knotts from Andy Griffith. When I was a boy, they took me to meet Don and Andy Griffith, shook their hand. Amen. I've watched it since. But anyhow, Don Knotts' sister was my babysitter. And so we grew up in that part of the country, sort of, it was sort of like Mayberry, I have to confess. What are you going to do on Sunday? Go downtown, get a bottle of pop. Amen. That was it. But I'll never forget Brother Knotts, after he left the home church where my dad was saved and later came back to pastor, where my brother pastors now, it was in his heart to go preach to the Apaches, to the First Nation, to the people. We used to watch cowboys and Indians, but I never got a call to preach to the Indians till I got older. But you see, he said, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life in a rocking chair. I'm going to go preach the gospel to the Apaches. So he went out to Arizona, and they built a mission, preached the gospel. And the story was told of one of the Apache Indian men. They said he stood 6'6", and that he was the worst drunk on the reserve. And when he'd get drunk, he'd just tear up and beat up and do whatever and it would take all of the police to grab a hold of him, and still they could hardly handle him. And one night he came to the mission. I don't know who was preaching, whether it's Brother Knotts, another minister. I don't know. Heaven will tell us. You know, sometimes we forget God sees everybody and he rewards us according to our faithfulness. Can you say amen? So the man was preaching and he said, if you want to be saved, the Bible says if you'll confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, you'll be saved. Believe it in your heart. And that big Indian brother got up, went down to the altar half smashed. They said it smelled like a brewery going by. Went to the altar, lifted his big old hands up and said, Jesus! 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 Before people knew what had happened, he got up and went back to his seat. Now the ushers sprung into motion. They could see the Holy Ghost was moving on him. So the pastor said, hey, brother, if you want to come down here, you could be saved. And he stood up and he said, what are you talking about? You said if you'd call on the name of the Lord, that you'd be saved. Well, he said, I called him 3 times. And not only was he saved, he became one of the best gospel workers in the mission out there. Are you listening to me? Sometimes we make this thing harder than we should. But the gospel contains within it healing for our bodies, peace for our minds, strength for our soul, finances to pay the bills, hallelujah, and to live in the area of the overflow and abundance. I think we ought to lift our hands and thank God that we're moving into the abundance of faith like never before as the church. I'm praying God is filling us up. Amen. I'm tired of all this junk. I want the real thing. I want the real deal. I want something that moves me off of normal or out of neutral. Amen. I want to go into drive or overdrive, but I'm ready to shake it. Hallelujah. I'm ready to believe God. How many, you're ready to believe God as well? Hallelujah.